It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. We're going to begin with the 13th verse. We've got eight woes there that we're going to cover. And so please don't miss this study. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. And we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. Phone number here is 217-847-2717. And if you would like to check out our website, love for you to do that, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. ParkviewBibleChurch.org. Got many studies there. I hope that it would bring you to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and help you to grow as well. And then if you'd like to email us, it's ParkviewBible@gmail.com or ParkviewBibleChurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just wonderful. And so glad again you've joined us today. And let's begin now the study. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Number 3, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, number 4, verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is the debtor. We're going to stop there with that 16th verse. We'll probably just get down through verse 15, but I wanted to read that far. So let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we had the opportunity to come today. Enjoy this precious time. Please that you guide and lead us each and every day, Father, that we can walk each day serving you, praising you. Please that you would take the study that we have and bring people to you. I pray that the words that are spoken are the words that bring conviction unto the folks, Father, that they will realize that they're lost, realize that they're, as the scripture says, condemned already, and they need to come by faith to you and be born again. And begin that wonderful walk serving you, knowing that you're present in their heart, guiding and leading them each and every day. These woes, and especially, Father, the first, as we have read them, it just sounds like the world today, because so many are missing the opportunity to preach the truth. They're missing the opportunity themselves. Many preachers are missing the opportunity themselves of knowing you as their personal Savior. They have not trusted nor accepted you into their heart. We ask today, Father, that you would touch the hearts of all that are listening and bring them to salvation, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this study, we're going to move back just for a moment back to the fifth chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. And it tells us, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." In other words, you got to do better than the scribes and Pharisees have done. And their lacking is giving out the gospel. And we have so many today that see no need to proclaim the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so please that you would hold on to that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 is where we started there for you to see that and to look to that. It is so important that we see and understand each and every day the joy of walking by and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in the Lord Jesus, having him in us. Now, let's take a look once again at a couple other verses of Scripture before we even start with these, the woe number one, woe number two, and woe number three. We're going to come back here to 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That was one of the first verses of Scripture that I ever memorized. God is love. Today, that is preached to many. However, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, tells us something else that we need to know and to understand. Hebrews 12, 29. For our God is a consuming fire. He has given us a way out of the mess that we're in. We're born in sin, and we have got to get ourselves out of that condition, that sinful condition, and there's only one single way. It's not attending this church. I would love to have you, but that is not going to make a difference. You can attend any church anywhere, and it's not going to make any difference. What's going to make the difference is for you to come by faith to Jesus, recognizing that you're a sinner, realizing you're lost, and personally inviting Jesus to come into your heart and save you. That is going to make the difference. And then search out a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church. That's what you need to do. So please that you take care of that. So God is love, yes. God is also a consuming fire, and he will find you. You will find yourself in the pits of hell, in the fires of hell for eternity, if you reject the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There is no other way. So many folks will tell you that there are multiple ways, and you're going one way and I'm going another, but we're both going to be there. No, we're not, because I go according to the Word of God, and that's the only source I have. Everything else has been developed and established by man. And that's the reason that Jesus himself is dealing with the leaders of the religion here, the leaders of the so-called church of the day. He is speaking words, strong words, against them. Verse 13, Matthew 23, 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. This is the religious folks. These are the teachers that were supposed to be teaching the Jewish people the truth, that the Messiah has come. Trust in him. Jesus is here. Look what it says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites. Now that's a bold statement there. Hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. They're supposed to be opening it up. They're supposed to be the ones. The preachers are to be the ones that open up the gospel. Tell you how to be saved. tell you that Jesus went to the cross to buy us back. Because sin entered in under Adam, and all men born are born in sin. The scripture says we're conceived in sin, and that doesn't mean that we're conceived without marriage. It means that that's the only hope we have. When we have man's seed, we have sin. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus is virgin born. Because he's sinless. He's without sin. And he lived this 33 years. And at the close of this time, the last 3 years was his ministry, a time of showing us that he is God. Perfect. Without sin. He had no reason to go to the cross and die on the cross for sin, for himself, but because the love of the Father sent the Son, and the Son willingly gave of his life to pay the debt of sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans tells us. The book of Romans is very clear. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So please, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But isn't it so sad here? For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. And I'm so sorry to tell you today that there is church after church and preacher after preacher that does not tell you how to be saved. They don't even tell you need to be saved, let alone telling you how. So please, please, listen. Listen. Recognize that you're a sinner and come, because that's what these men were doing. For ye neither go in yourselves. In other words, they have ignored the way. Here we have God's representatives on earth. They should have been helping men to find salvation, to find the straight and narrow way. But instead, they were the great hinderers. For neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entered to go in. The scribes and Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, and literally the Jewish nation, was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And they had, the scribes and the Pharisees especially, as well as the Jewish people, had everything. The prophets told them everything. Told them the way he would come, the place where he was to be born, even the how concerning his arrival into the world. It was announced. There were men that came seeking kings. And they come to Jerusalem, and the question was asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And these same people told him. They told them where. And so they arrived and brought their gifts. You know, because there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that we end up with three candles and three wise men. But there was not just three. There was a great number that has come. Because three men showing up on their camels does not stir a city. And Jerusalem was stirred. And yet, able to tell them where, because they knew. Right here, we're talking about that. They knew where, and yet they did not. They did not listen. I hope you listen today. I hope you listen today. The prophets told them everything. Everything they needed to know. The angels announced it. The shepherds proclaimed it. And the wise men came and witnessed it. What a joyful day. But most of the world missed it. Because of these scribes and Pharisees, because the Jews denied the proclamation that they were supposed to be proclaiming. They were supposed to be telling all the world. They were the deliverer of the message of the gospel. They were the deliverer of the message of the gospel of the virgin-born Christ child. They were the messengers that was to bring the gospel that salvation has come. Here is our Savior. Trust in Him. Believe Him. Follow Him. Bring Him. Ask Him into your heart. Instead of that, these scribes and Pharisees, the very teachers, were the ones that turned away. The scribes and the Pharisees, the Jews, they all were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But instead of listening to the word that was proclaimed to them for generations, they rejected it. They, in their mind, had prepared or designed this one that would come, that would be born, would be their Messiah, but not the Messiah to take their sins away. The Messiah that was to be the deliverer from the bondage of Rome, to come and overthrow Rome and set up the kingdom right here and right now. They were looking for this bold, strong soldier, this King of Kings that was going to come and give great victory and set their nation free. They were looking for that kind of freedom, not the freedom from sin. What kind of freedom are you looking for? What kind of freedom are you looking for? The one that had come, the Lord Jesus, did not resemble their Messiah. He was the Son of God, very God in the flesh. But all they could see was some unlearned son of a carpenter. So they denied, and they could not accept either him as Christ, him as Savior, him as the Messiah, or the doctrines that he taught. The scribes and Pharisees set out to do everything to oppose him, to reject him. And they managed to get the people to follow. So as we look at this, we find that they themselves rejected it. Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Stood in the way of salvation. Stood in the way of salvation. Now, I don't know whether you hear this from the pulpit as it's preached on Sunday morning or whenever you go. I hope you go. But if you don't hear these words, then you have a situation just like Jesus was dealing with here. And the only word that can be spoken is they're hypocrites. Because they are not preaching the gospel, not telling the precious word. That's the first woe. There's eight of them. the second woe. Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. If you'll notice, we've got the same title here in the second. For ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. There are two very serious complaints here, or accusations here. First is, ye devour widows' houses. And the second is, you act like you're praying long. And the key word there is act like. You pretend. You pretend. And they would do it out openly so people would see them. People would hear them. They wanted folks to recognize how holy they were. And so we've got several verses of Scripture here concerning the widows. We're going to deal with that first. Some of them are back here in the Old Testament. Some of them are in the New Testament. And so we're going to go back to Psalms chapter 68. Psalms 68. This is what the scribes and Pharisees had. They had the Word of God. They knew David. They knew his Psalms. They proclaimed them many times. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. He cares for the fatherless. He cares for the widows. Psalms 146. My point is that they have this. Psalms 46. 146. Verse 9. 146, verse 9. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. He cares for them. Cares for the strangers, the children, the fatherless, and the widows. Proverbs 15:25. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Back the other direction, Deuteronomy. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 24. Here are my pages. You know that I'm turning. I hope that you have enough time. But if not, just write it down. Look it up later. I'd love for you to look at these scripture verses. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 17. 24, verse 17. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the strangers, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes in thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. if you noticed here that the fatherless, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow was not handed monies. They were not handed a gift of welfare, but they were allowed to go out to the fields and gather up what the harvesters had left. The Lord told them, you come through one time and you leave it, because that allows the leftovers for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow to go out and harvest. You see, nothing is handed to them. They didn't own any land. They didn't have any possessions. But God saw fit to care for them in this manner. You still work. The scripture is very clear. You don't work, you don't eat. So stop being that lazy bum. Let's get to work. Let's first come to the Lord Jesus and be born again, and then go find you a job. Let's be busy about serving the Lord. A couple other verses of scripture here. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected. God's going to take care of them. And so he set up the first deacons so that the widows could be taken care of. Now, one more. Back in 1 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's quite a few verses here. Don't know if we're going to get through all of them. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. In other words, there is no family member to take care of them. If there's family, then the family takes care of the widow. If there is no family, then it becomes the church's responsibility. And it tells us here very clear, but any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, in other words, have need. Just because you're a widow doesn't mean that the church still needs to care for you. Trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers day and night. Do you see what that's saying? If the church is to care for you, you need to be in service in the church, continuing supplications and prayers day and night. But if she liveth in pleasure, is dead while she liveth, these things give a charge that they may be blameless. And if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There are a lot of things here in 1 Timothy. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 old, having been the wife of one man. 80, that's 60 years old. If she's under 60, she needs to go out and find a husband. Well reported of for good works if she have brought up children, and if she long lodge strangers, and if she have washed the saints' feet, and if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed after every good work. For the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. We didn't get all those read. We'll finish that up next time. Isn't it wonderful how God gives us this direction and guidance? My dear friend, it's wonderful to study his precious word. What are you going to do about Jesus.